Well, again, good morning to everyone. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be able to share the word with you this morning. And I always just start with, obviously, by the grace of God, can I be up here? And so I'd love to start with that. But let's get into what we're going to talk about this morning. Let's start by painting a picture for all of you. And I'll slightly apologize off the bat, because this picture that I'm going to paint could very well be some of you in this church. Have you ever experienced where maybe you're driving through the city and you pull up to a light, and beside you is this minivan, potentially a minivan, where the bass is just cranked to the max, and you're standing there and you're at the light, and all you can hear is this thumping of this bass and all these, you know, sounds, and you're really not even sure what's coming out of the car. And you look over, and there's about a 16-year-old, 17-year-old who, well, I guess it's kind of a little bit later now with the licenses, but maybe 18-year-old who's so happy and proud. Maybe they've just got their license, and they've got mom's minivan or dad's minivan, and they are just so thrilled to be out on the road. Anybody experienced that before? Yes, and it's, yeah, it shows my age, too, when I start to look across, and I'm like, man, they look young. And that, I know, was always, everybody always said that about me. Like, is this guy really be able to drive, right? So you look across. But what I find funny and humorous about that is, whose vehicle is it most of the time? It's the parents' vehicle. And most likely their gas. And I'm pretty sure that mom and dad have paid for the insurance, and they've bought the car, and then what happens is they drive the car back to their parents' house, where their parents feed them, and maybe do their laundry. Some are maybe looking down the ground, right? So I just always find that situation funny, right? When we got to that age, we thought, this is the pinnacle of maturity. I've got my license. I'm free. Right? But that's such a false sense of maturity, isn't it? And when you get older, you start to realize that there's a lot more to this thing of life than meets the eye. And obviously, us as parents are gracious and remind them that of time to time, but it doesn't really sink in until they actually experience it. So this morning, what we're going to jump into is that kind of scenario that I painted the picture of this morning. Is that was basically a kind of a false sense of maturity, okay? But we're going to take a look at a piece of scripture that shows us how we can attain spiritual maturity. I can't help myself. You're going to see this from time to time. We're going to hit Jesus' gym this morning because the theme is bodybuilding. So we're going to enter the gym this morning. So all of you thought you were coming to church, but we're actually going to hit Jesus' gym this morning. But first, before we truly, start, this is the story was kind of to get you warmed up, because we don't want anybody to pull any muscles or anything like that, because we're going to do some heavy lifting, right, in Jesus' gym this morning. But all jokes aside, just quickly, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. I just want to quickly kind of review this. Mike shared on it, but this is the platform. And the verse that I'm going to be speaking on, Ephesians 13, it's a bunch of commas, and it's like in the middle of this sentence. And when Mark said, okay, Nate, yeah, could you, you know, speak on this one? I was like, it's not even a sentence. Like, it's just, how are we going to do all this? And Mark laughed, and he said, you'll figure it out. But again, verses 11 and 12, so just a little bit before. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. They strive, these gifts, these fivefold ministry, they strive, they, with Jesus' help, obviously, go to equip the church to go wherever they need to go. Okay. Again, I love this bodybuilding analogy. These gifts here, what their job is to tighten up flabby muscle. and train and equip the church. If there's things that need to be worked on, right? God's gifted these people to do those sort of things. And again, I was just thinking of, right, this analogy of the gym. You obviously, I'm sure we've all been guilty of this. I like to be active, but I've been guilty of this too, is we need these gifts, but we can't sit on the couch. And I was envisioning like eating ice cream and watching a workout video. Good job, way to go. Yeah, lift those weights, right? Like that doesn't work. Right? We need to get involved. And so these gifts, although they're important and the functions within the church, they help shape. But we need to do our part as well. Shaping us, the saints, and getting involved individually as well to the body of Christ to work harmoniously, to work together. So I just wanted to preface that quickly before we get into verse 13. The theme, the kind of thing that you can take away from today is we're going to learn about practical goals to attain the fullness and stature of Christ. Wow. Big task. Trust me, going through this, it was like, how am I going to articulate this? But that's kind of the overall goal. There's some things that we're going to see that are going to help us. So Ephesians 4:13, until we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So again, you saw right there, it's right in front of you, it's all these commas and different things, and I'm going to just break down these into individual parts. But first, each of these phrases involves a process that results in a goal. While the goal will not be perfectly attained until Christ returns, it is something that we need to aim for. And second, spiritual growth. I want to make sure we understand that. Spiritual growth is not a question of your position in Christ. When you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've put your faith in him. Okay? So I really want to make sure we understand that. This has nothing to do with your position in Christ. When you accept Jesus, he loves you. He's your Father. You've accepted him. This is something that we're going to jump into in a bit here. So my first kind of point is this. The goal is that the body will attain to the unity of faith by knowing well the Son of God. A few months ago, I preached on 1 Corinthians 12. And again, it's such an amazing analogy of unity. And right off the get-go, we see this idea of unity in Paul's statement. The body shows us a great example of what unity looks like. All the parts working together, right? And you can use so many analogies. Well, if the liver doesn't work well, or if this doesn't work well, right? You notice those things, but the body works so well in unity, and I just love that metaphor and that analogy. With its many different functions, it works seamlessly when the body works the way God designed it to do. It's a perfect picture of unity. God, changing gears a little bit, God doesn't require unity without giving us the means to achieve it. This is why I started with verses 11 and 12. He's gifted those people to help with that. Going further back in Ephesians 4:3, the unity of the Spirit is a gift to be guarded, he talks about in Ephesians 4:3. Now we see unity in faith is a goal to be reached. Faith refers to the essential truths of the Christian faith, centered on the gospel and the person of Jesus Christ. So firstly, we're talking about, I know it's a big word, but this kind of doctrinal unity Paul is mentioning here, which comes by preaching the word. And again, at Oceanside, we value the word. That's why we're preaching on a Sunday. But then also throughout the week in January, right, we're going to start up again the school of the Bible. We value the word and learning what God has to say through his word. The more we understand God's word, the closer we can experience unity. So the word is very important. Such a realization of unity will arise from the increasing knowledge of Christ Jesus and Son of God. When we know more about Jesus, that brings unity. And I'll touch on that a little bit later as well, some more practical things. in the corporate setting as well in the personal setting. The church comes to age when we know Jesus well. But Paul isn't just talking about an academic ability to recite various doctrines about Christ. Although it's important to know those things. He's talking about an intimate and a personal knowledge about Jesus Christ. As we come to know Christ more deeply, we will experience a closer unity in Christ. This is what Paul's point is that he's trying to make. And I love the way that, again, different people put this, this unity. And C.S. Lewis talks about, he says, "Now faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has now accepted, in spite of your changing moods." Faith is the determination of the mind to cling on to what is known in the face of maybe what is felt. Though it involves trust, it's about knowing as well as trusting that what one knows to be true remains true even when it does not feel true. So C.S. Lewis is putting out this idea of until we absolutely know Jesus Christ, no matter how we're feeling, we go to the Word, we soak in, we have this deep relationship with Him, we know Him, and through this unity will come. Again, I was just thinking, I don't know, I think maybe when I was working on this, I had a jar of honey beside me or something like that. I don't know. This is where this is coming from. Looking at it, think about just honey or any food, for example. If you just kind of look at the jar of honey or a spoonful of honey, or people tell you about it, and you read books about honey, and it looks and sounds quite amazing, but you actually haven't tasted the honey, have you really experienced it? You know about it, but you haven't tasted it. You haven't experienced for yourself. You don't quite know it in the full way. But when you taste it, you can know it with your heart. You know what it tastes like. So again, what I'm trying to show you here is we want a deeper insight of Christ Himself, and that's by getting to know Him. And again, I'll reference it more. So we want, again, faith intertwined with knowing. So when we grow in faith and the knowledge of God, our journey to spiritual maturity is set in motion. Now we're going to take a look at maturity. So secondly, the goal is that the body will grow in maturity. Being born anew by the Spirit of God through faith in the person and work of Christ first leads us to maturity. I hope you're seeing that theme again. Jesus. Jesus is so important to this. Again, though, Paul is not just referring to the individual. He is referring again as the corporate body. He wants to see us grow in both areas. In our relationship with one another, and in the way that we love one another as we work together in the cause of Christ, the world should see beyond us to our Savior. As members of the body of Christ, we are continually being built up to maturity. And here's maybe some practical. How does this happen, you might be asking? You're going to hear this repeated a few times. Maturity is growing personally in the areas mentioned in Ephesians 4, chapter 2. Verse 2, I should say. Humility, gentleness, bearing with one another in love, peace, so on. That's a sign of maturity when we're growing in those areas. Maturity is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit brings us to maturity. He shows us what maybe we thought this way, and He brings, when we read Scripture, He brings these things to light. There's a revelation there through the Holy Spirit. That brings us to maturity. I once was blind, but now I see. And that's through the Holy Spirit's amazing work in our life. Maturity comes through allowing time to grow in one's walk with the Savior. And there once was this thing called a photo. I know it's in the distant future, but remember, you used to take a photo and it was on like a reel, and what did they have to do with it? They had to develop it. The young kids in here are like, what are you talking about? No, it's on your phone, and you know, you just like hit share and it goes everywhere. And I have it on the cloud, and then I can, you know. What you had to do is you had to develop this photo. And what did you have to develop it in? Solutions. What else? A dark room. So through this chemical process, and as well in this dark room, what happens is you finally got a photo. It didn't just happen instantly. And I just love that picture, no pun intended, that analogy of this process that it takes. It's a good, again, reminder of the process, the Spirit working through us. And again, I'll touch on this process as well as we continue to go through the Scripture. Maturity is a believer whose life begins to take on the character of Christ and His likeness. As we move into knowing Christ better, right? The way we think, the way we act, it should turn into the ways that should resemble Christ. And again, that's no small order, but that's why I said before, it's the Spirit working in us, and there's grace and there's mercy along the way. But again, we should look more like Christ each and every day. So maturity is that. Maturity is knowing what it means to be gracious to others in the body of Christ. And that can be, right, this is a body. And right, Mike shared it, we need the other week, right? We need to love each other despite all the differences that we have, right? We got to love each other. And that, again, ties back into the unity. But it also ties into the maturity aspect of this as well. Patience and love. Peace should be shown to all the body of Christ so that we may speak the truth in love. It's a result of maturity is that we speak the truth in love. The image of God in those that believe should start to shine through, should start to leak out. This is where maturity starts to happen. When you partake and I partake in the fullness of Christ to the utmost, we're mature, not only as individuals, but as a congregation. So we see maturity. So now that we are growing in maturity, our passage for this morning takes it, I don't want to even say a little step forward. It takes a big step forward here. So my third point this morning is the goal is that the body will grow to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Woe is absolutely right. I don't mind pauses. Maybe I have like an awkward, like I don't mind them. I do this in my class all the time. I don't mind silence. But after saying that, isn't it just this awe that comes over? The fullness of Christ. Fullness of Christ. But again, I want to just rephrase this again. Growth does not happen in a day. It happens daily. Day by day, it happens. Let's pull, again, some token phrases that maybe you have heard many, many times. Rome wasn't built in a day. A picture is not painted by the magic of just one stroke. For those that maybe have these in your yard, Megan and I, we definitely have a bunch of these in our yard. An oak tree does not mature in a single day. We have little ones in our backyard, but then we also have quite big ones as well. And it takes a long time for an oak tree to mature. It's a great picture of this. Line upon line, layer upon layer, here a little, there a little. are the lines upon which we move into maturity, which we move into, again, Christ's likeness. We are to radiate and reflect God's and Christ's perfect perfection. But what God cares about the most is that we do this as in Christ's manner, that we do it like Christ. That's what he loves to see. Thus, the goal is that the church will grow to complete Christ-likeness, so that when the world looks at us, it gets a glimpse of the Savior. Hands up. Going back to the very beginning of the passage, until we attain. So that sentence that I just mentioned, everybody hands up. We've attained it already, right? We can go home. We wish, exactly. As you look out into the world and the church and how it's functioning, well, we're good. We've attained it already. Hopefully everyone's sitting on their hands now. We haven't attained it yet. That's what Paul's saying. We haven't got there yet. There's still more to come. There's still work to be done. And he just wants to remind us of that, to not bring us down or bring a heavy, but to say, hey, God still, there's a process involved. God still has us on a journey, and he wants to remind us that. We haven't attained it yet. So our example is Christ. And sometimes when maybe some of you can relate to this, and when I was going through this, we got to be like Christ in Christ's likeness. Sometimes that maybe can be overwhelming. Be like, I've got to be like Christ? How the heck am I going to do that? I can't do that. It's okay, you don't have to do it in yourself. But how can we do it? And just some practical examples. And there's more that obviously could go into this. But allow the Spirit to change you. It's kind of, again, reiterating what I said earlier. Allow the Spirit to change you and work through you. This is one way that we can move into being more like Christ. To be like him, you have to know him. How do you know him? Study him. Study his words, his teachings. But it goes beyond that. Don't just read the Bible. Spend time with him. Speak with him. Pray with him. Spend time with him. When you read what Jesus was like, how he interacted with people, how he handled life, you'll start to again see, how can I do that? How can I emulate that? It's a perfect example because Jesus dealt with the day-to-day people, right? Jesus was hanging out with sinners. That's what he loved to hang out with. Of course, there was going to be conversations that, right? We see it throughout Scripture where the disciples were like stepping in the back, like, Jesus, yeah, what's going on? But we see how he talked to people. We see how he loved people. This is how we get to know him. But then, once we've read, once we've prayed, once we've done this, what do we got to do? We got to apply it. We can't just hold on to it. We've got to apply it. We see again in the person of Jesus Christ how he applied that everywhere he went. He didn't just hold on to it. In your workplace, on the soccer field, on Tuesday nights, in your club, in whatever it is, you have an opportunity to apply what you've learned about Jesus Christ and share his love, not only for you, but for those that you encounter with on a daily basis. Spend time with him. The good news of the gospel is not just that we can be saved by Christ, but that we're being renewed into the image of Christ. We don't just stay there. We're continually moving into the renewal in the image of Christ daily. And this is just some ways that we can do that. So now that we've gone through these different goals, these different ways of kind of looking at how can we do this? What's important? What happens when you step out these doors? And I just want to kind of try to connect with each of you depending on where you're at. Because as we talked this morning, there are practical steps that we can move along this journey in the unity of faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But as Christians, I want to make sure we understand this. As Christians, we could be at different spots on the journey. We're not loved less or loved more depending where we are. But some may be new to the faith on the journey. Maybe some are in the middle. Maybe some have been for a long time. We could be at different spots. Hope everyone understands what I'm saying. Yeah. So first off, if some of you are relatively new to Christianity, take advantage of the different opportunities to be equipped, whether it's in God's Word on Sunday or later on in the week at Connect Groups. This is one way that we can grow in these areas that we've just talked about. As you grow in faith and apply the Word to your own life, look for ways to impart God's truth to others. Maybe you're in a different spot. Maybe you're maybe more mature in your faith. You've been a Christian for a little while. I want to encourage you not to grow weary. Don't grow weary. Helping others is like raising kids. It's a process. It takes time. It takes energy. But God is there for us to help us with that. And God, what's amazing is God's continually bringing new people in. And so the process just starts over and over again. Get involved in that. That's how we can grow. Maybe another spot you could be in is those that have been Christians for a long, long time. Maybe perhaps you feel like you're maybe stagnant. I just pray over you right now that Jesus would again ignite that fire in you. Start recovering that first love. It can start today. But again, do you see how these all work together? What, Jesus ignites you, and then we have others that we can share in Jesus' love with, and we can help in this idea of corporate maturity. So invite people. Invite them to the Connect Group. Say, here's an opportunity again to learn more about Jesus. Such an amazing opportunity. So the point is, let's just not sit idle. There's things that God is calling us to do yet. So if you need more equipping, then get equipped. If you need, again, like our motto, if you need healing, get healed. There's people that would love to pray for you. Training is the kind of the equipping piece. But let's grow in maturity. Let's grow in unity, as not only as individuals, but also as a church, to see all that God has for us. Thanks.
Wonderful. Let's give him a hand. That was amazing. I just so love seeing what God's doing in our young preachers and teachers, and we want to see more come through, for sure. And if I could have the worship team forward, and that'll be great. We're hearing about the practical side of this. And but what is the heart of this? Why? I just want to share a little. What is the heart of we do what we do? And I think if we remember that, it becomes easier to do it. If we feel it's because of the leaders want us to get involved, or because of I feel obligated, or this is what I do, I think we miss the point of it, and we lose our joy very quickly, because following a gnarly guy like me can do that to you. But if we understand who this is about, and you'll hear in this church the name of Jesus, hopefully more than any other name, that is lifted up, because no other name should be above his. So there's a heart for this. There's a heart that if this is your home church, if you're visiting and God places you here, it would be a privilege to have you here. But I want to tell you, there's many good churches in the city. And if this isn't for you, I know the pastors. If you tell me what you're looking for, I will even lead them to them, because it's not about Oceanside. It's about the body of Christ. in the city. It's about us working together and seeing the 90,000 people in this city alone that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You think we got a job to do? You think we got a mission field? Yes, some go overseas, but it starts right here. And we need the body of Christ. We're not in competition. I want people to flow where they feel that they are planted by the Lord. And if it's here, we want to do that to the best of our ability to see that come through in your lives. But Nathan, that was outstanding. Yeah. I feel like a proud dad, these young guys. But if we want to see this happen, we've got to catch the heart of God. Because it's His church, and I haven't been put on a cross to die for your sins. I didn't give my life and get on a cross to die for the people's sins out there. He did. He gave everything. He gave His heart, and He wanted His church to arise and not only preach the gospel, but live the gospel. Live it out there. And He says in humility, be like me, who humbled Himself, became a servant. There's many things like this. So this equipping is not about knowledge. This is equipping not about profile in a life or church. This is equipping is about having a heart for Jesus Christ. And through that, if we catch His heart, we will not be able to go a day without seeing in the city opportunities to share that. And for that, we need to be equipped. That's the reason why we need to be equipped. Because Jesus loves people. He puts us in a mission field. It could be as a server at Tim Hortons. It could be as the manager of a bank. It could be in the 7-Eleven. He gives you a mission field. It could be a student at university. And that mission field is being given to you. You've been placed in there to share the love of Jesus. That's your mission field. That's your mission field. You want to know about missions? That's your mission field. And do you know what He does? In your mission field, He says, I'll resource you, so I'll make sure you get a salary from your boss to be a missionary. You're full paid missionaries. In a place. If we can take that. Not in perfection, not trying to tell people, oh, we got it all. No, we are still on this journey. But if people know that they loved, if people know that you can look them in the eyes and care for them, and when their child is sick, that you come along and minister to them. I was speaking to a guy this week, and one of his staff is in so, I mean, I can't even imagine. Unsaved guy in there, but I was visiting him at his office. I don't know how many people have died of terrible things in the last few months in this young man's life, cancer and all of this. And through that, this guy's starting to reach out to him, to help him, to minister him, not only in word, but in deed. And do you know the amazing thing? He's starting to want to find out more about this Jesus. He's starting to, so how do you do this? And I can say clearly that I could not do what I do or anything that you do outside of Jesus Christ and His grace. And when we share that, when that captivates people's hearts, things change. So this is the two little verses that I just wanted to share, and so we can begin to worship God. And the first one is Colossians 3 from verse 23. This should be the heart in which we walk in. It says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. For it is the Lord, for as working as unto the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working for the Lord. For you're working for the Lord and not for men. goes on to say this. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Remember that. A bit higher up it says this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with psalms and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him. And then I was just thinking of this wonderful passage in Galatians. Galatians 6:9. Nathan mentioned it and it brought it to light to me. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And therefore, as we have every opportunity, let us do good. And this is an amazing little verse, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. If this is your home, you can be involved in things out there, in mission things, but if this is your home, this is where you grow. This is where it starts. Plugging in, getting involved, doing good to the ones around us with needs in this place. If there's somebody next to you and you get to hear that they're struggling, guess what? You got to hear it for a reason, not to tell me. But hey, I can do you some good. How? I can pray for you. I can encourage you. I can do good, especially to the family that you're in. And why is that important? It's not exclusive. It's important because if we can't get it right here, in this safe place, with people that the majority who love Jesus Christ, how the heck are we going to do it out there? It starts here. And out of that, doing good, what does that mean? You ask God, what does it mean to you? It means something different to everybody along the way. And so I just want to finish once again with us just worshiping Jesus. God's not angry with us. God loves us. God's forgiven us. He's just wanting us to spur each other on, Hebrews says, to love and good deeds. Let's spur one another on. Church, this world is hurting. This city is hurting. There's so much need. And God has said, well, I am not going to do it outside of my body, outside of my people. Let's get on with that task. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've got questions, it took me years. My wife got saved years before me. It didn't make sense to me. But one day God captivated my heart. And I'd love to answer those questions. We have leaders here that would say, listen, it's good to have questions. It's good to seek. It's good to come into the body of Christ and say, hey, this makes no sense. Why do you do what you do? Amen. So if we can stand for a while, I just want that seed that was sown through Nathan's amazing preach to captivate our hearts.